Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, a few warnings of things you're getting into. Number one, if there's one thing I really fear in this world, it's a pulpit. It's not very often you'll find me behind that. I'm much more comfortable out here with you. Number two, it's partly because I use my hands. I don't think there's a lick of Italian blood in me, but my preaching style comes Italian. In that, a little warning, after somebody made a comment after the first service, I have a thing called essential tremors. It sounds scary, doesn't it? It means I shake. That you'll notice in things that my hands shake, and it's just a natural thing I've had as long as I can remember. It's not because I'm exceedingly nervous up here or stressed or anything like that. I just naturally shake, and if I hit the second cup of coffee in the morning, it makes it worse. So just to warn you, I shake, and I don't even notice it anymore, and so people tell me, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to say something. I shake. I'm not nervous. I'm excited, but that's just where the shake is. This morning I am really excited and very proud to be here, that I would be called to serve this wonderful congregation and to be able to lead you in worship. And the last few weeks, I have really enjoyed reading about so many of you, that I put out the call on the email blast and on the newsletter to hear stories about who you are and who's influenced you in life. Who are people that you've looked up to? And it's really been wonderful to read about all the influences, to read about parents and grandparents, to read about brothers and sisters and neighbors, a lot of Sunday school teachers and pastors and teachers in school, and to hear where all these influences came from, to see who you are through those people. And the words that you said about them tell me so much about who you are, to help me to realize who I need to be up here to shepherd and pastor to you. And so thank you to all of those who responded. And if you haven't yet, I invite you to still respond, because I would still love to hear those things and eventually sit down face to face with each one of you. But those have been wonderful, and I encourage them to keep coming. But for you, I think that for you to know, to hear the word from me, I think you need to know a little about who I am and where I come from. So to say, where my authority comes from. And there's a word I don't like either, is authority. And I believe that's what this outfit and the stole is supposed to show, is my authority of who I am. And I am very proud to have spent 10 years trying to receive this stole from the bishop, and proud that I was able to receive it. But to know who I am, you really, in part, need to get to know the people that are sitting in the front row. And I had been planning on putting a picture up, but then they decided to come, so I didn't actually have to put up a picture. But if you didn't meet them last week, my parents, Jan and Mike Brooks, are sitting in the front row, and they're really a huge reason of why I'm able to be here today. And not just because my mother carried me for 9 months and my father paid for everything growing up. Well, he also did other things. But because of how they raised me. Things you need to realize as you think about the people who've influenced you. My mother, the one thing you need to know about her is she is the most loving and compassionate heart that I've ever met. That she's the type of person that when she sits down and has a conversation with somebody, you know that you're special in that moment with her. The way that she makes eye contact, the way that she is just fully there for you and caring about what you have to say and wanting to help you, is something that I've always looked up to. And as a pastor, I've spent so many times telling God, God, why can't you give me a heart more like my mother? To have that compassion and love to that kind of depth for all of the people that I encounter as a pastor, and as I try to embody your love to them, to be more like that. And so I had that influence growing up with her. She's a social worker by trade and by degree, and that's what she does now, but she spent most of my life raising me and my brother. And if you met my brother, you'd know that that's a job and a half. When you get to know me, you'll realize I'm the other job and a half that she had. But my father, he is a retired engineer for Boeing doing black box government defense systems, which means growing up, my dad was off on secret missions most of the time is what it felt like, doing projects that we couldn't know about and know where he was. But when he was around, he was fully there. He coached the teams, he volunteered for things, and really the thing that I saw the most in my dad is you commit yourself to a job, you do it fully, and you do it the best you can and make sure that you're proud of it at the end. And something that I've always looked to when I tackle things of how can I do that, try to do it the best that I can and do it right the first time for those people that I'm doing it for. And those are great things that I learned from them and things that I've looked to and wanted to be more like, but the thing that they did the greatest job on is they always had me in church. These were two of the most dedicated people I saw growing up in church. My mom teaching Sunday school, volunteering with VBS, being part of the Stevens visitation ministry, doing outreach work, but she was there and she was doing it. And my dad, he was tired from working and doing long hours, but here he still was, that he's been the lay leader of his church and the SPRC chair and doing the word for the children and doing all sorts of things around the church. And so we were always there, and what I knew of church was it was my second home. It was one of the places I was most comfortable. And because of what I saw in them, very early on, I started being fully engaged in church also. Proud to be an acolyte, and in high school being an usher, singing in the kids' choirs. By high school, I was teaching Sunday school and working in the crib room. And that's just what I knew, is you weren't just a participant in church, you weren't just somebody that sat in the pews, but you were somebody that helped make the church happen, that you were somebody that served it and did things for it and pulled your share of the weight in the ministry. And so when it came to high school, and I'd been engaged in youth group all along, even though my friends kind of came and went, I was a pretty steady one in it because I loved it, and it's a place that I felt really comfortable. Well, when it came to my senior year, it came time for Youth Sunday, and Youth Sunday is a great thing, but as a high school senior that wasn't afraid to say what was on my mind, I was a little annoyed at Youth Sunday because it said Youth Sunday, but it felt like Adult Sunday that the kids got to read. That it felt like the adults were still doing everything they did and writing everything, but the kids got to say it on the microphone, and I didn't think that was good enough. I thought that it really needed to truly be a Youth Sunday, and so I went to the associate pastor that was the youth leader, and I said, you know, I'd really like to take on Youth Sunday. I'd like to plan it and organize it and recruit the kids and do the service the way that we would do it as youth if it was ours. And she must have been off that day because she told me yes and said, here you go, here's your blessing. And so here me and probably like 25 youth or so put on the service, and I helped with the writing of the prayers and organizing a drama and the music for it, something that was what we were familiar with and comfortable with and things that we loved and we felt that we could do for the congregation that came from our hearts to theirs. And I was really proud of what the youth had done. They were like my little brothers and sisters. And so we're going through the service and everything's going well, and it got time for the heart of the message, and I'd given myself that role, feeling like I really had something that I had to share with the congregation. Well, if you've ever been to Shepherd of the Hills, the pulpit is like a throne that you have to like go three steps up to, and it's this massive thing. And all growing up, it was a pastor on the verge of retirement with the robe and the stripes that shows he's got the PhD that spoke with authority in that pulpit. Well, I couldn't speak with that kind of authority, and there was no way I was climbing up into that throne to speak to people as if I was above them. And so I got in the front of the church, much like I am now. And being the good public speaker that had studied in school, I had my note cards already with my message on them, and I started to go through them, and I just got the sense that I wasn't supposed to be reading off of them. And so I put them in my back pocket, and I just began to speak from the heart. I began to speak what I felt God wanted me to say to that congregation. And I felt very comfortable there, and I felt like I was in a place I was supposed to be. And What I heard was God's voice telling me, Stacy, this is what I need from you. I need you in this place to be giving my message to my people. And it was confirmed as I was going out the door, as so many people said, you know, Stacy, you're going into ministry, right? Stacy, you need to go into ministry. And I just kind of laughed at all of them, you know, 17-year-old me laughing at them. And I knew it, and I had no doubts of God calling me, but I was a pretty stubborn and persistent that I knew what I wanted to do with my life. Because one of the great influences I had were teachers growing up. I had some amazing teachers in elementary school. And early on, I looked up to them, and that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a teacher. You know, picture little 8-year-old me after school in my friend's garage with little 5- and 6-year-olds trying to teach them third grade material. Because I didn't just want to be a teacher. I wanted to be a teacher right then. I'm going to do this. I have something to teach you, and I'm going to do it. And I thrived on that authority to those little kids in the garage. And so when God called me, I said, you know, that's wonderful, God, and there's somebody that's really right for that, but, you know, I'm 17 years old. I need to live life before I can preach about life. And so I'm going to go live a life, and you can talk to me later, okay? Remember, I'm 17 years old. I didn't know any better. And so I went off to school to Westmont College with an elementary education major, and very quickly learned I was not very good at writing lesson plans. Taking things and putting them on paper, not so easy. And so after the first year, I left Westmont and I left elementary education and decided to find what path I was supposed to be on. Well, in the midst of all of that, and actually I love to skip this part, so I'm gonna have to rewind a little bit. At the end of my senior year, just a few months after that calling, here I was at camp, so perfect for our camp staff to be here. And I'm telling you, camping changes lives. So I'm really proud of this congregation that you're really behind camping in our camping system. But I was at my final camp, and it got time for the final worship service where we do communion. And they decided that the kids, the youth, were going to do the service. And so I got asked if I'd be the one to lead the communion portion of the blessing of the bread and the telling of the story. A real pastor had already blessed it. I was just going through the motions, but I got asked to do that. And I said, okay, fine, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. And so I got up there, and number one, was pretty impressed at how much of it I had memorized from sitting in church for so many years. But as I'm giving this blessing, and in front of all these people that I looked up to, these counselors and all the other youth that I'd walked this journey of camping with, and again felt God saying, Stacy, this is where I need you. I need you to serve my people just as you're doing now. And again, like I said, yes, God, I understand, but here's my plans. So after I left elementary education and left Westmont, I did some wandering of trying to figure out what I was supposed to be doing. And in the midst of it, landed in youth ministry as a volunteer with my friend's youth group. And I was loving that, and eventually that was going well enough that the church across town hired me to be their youth director, and eventually turned that into a full-time youth ministry position and was absolutely loving it. I loved my youth. I loved my church. I loved what I was doing. I loved the district involvement that I had, and it was going really well. But what happens when things are going really well and you're in a rhythm and things are just where they're supposed to be? God says, I got a turn for you, right? Here's your detour. And I was sitting in a young adult Bible study at a friend's church, and God, clear as day, smacked me upside the head. And he said, Stacy, I've let you wander. Stacy, I've let you try your own path. Stacy, I've let you try to do it your own way. But I'm tired of you running. I'm tired of you wandering. It's time for you to commit to my path. And that night, I couldn't tell God no. He was so clear, and he was so convincing, I couldn't say no. And the next day, I went out to lunch with my senior pastors that I worked for, and I said, I have to go to seminary. And they said, it's about time. We're really sad to lose you, but we know what you need to be doing. And so I headed off to seminary, and here I am, 11 years later in the journey. You're my fourth church that I've pastored. I've gone through my ups and downs, my difficult days and my easy days. And the thing I've learned most from are the toughest of days, that there's been some days that have been extremely difficult in ministry. I will admit to you with full disclosure and honesty that I've had those days when I thought that it was just too much and I was going to have to walk away from ministry, thinking I just don't have what it takes. that I just don't have the strength, that I just don't have the faith, that I just don't have it. And every single time, God has come through. He said, I looked at you when you were 17 years old and you said you were too young. I've looked at you when you've said that you don't think you've had enough, and every time I've provided for you. I've given you what you've needed, even when you didn't believe in yourself. And God's gotten me through every single time. And that's how it comes in life, isn't it? I mean, we make our plans. We look to the people that we look up to and we say, I want to be like that. But ultimately what it comes to is we look in here and we see who Christ was. The one that walked this earth, that healed, that taught, that did miracles, that went to the cross and died for us out of an unconditional love for us. And what I've seen is all these people that I've looked up to, and what I saw in the stories that you've told me is what we're looking up to is not human beings, but what we see of Christ in them, of the witness that they've modeled, of the love that they've shown, and the faith that's there. And so I tell you this, as your pastor, my goal is to help each one of us live more like Christ, to recognize when we see him in each other, to recognize when we can take that step that's a little bit closer to the path that he walked, to sit in worship, to sit in Bible studies, to sit in fellowship times and outreach events, and to see where Christ is calling us to live a little bit more like him, to be a witness of what it means to be a Christian walking this earth in the way that he once did, because we're all capable of it. There's no such thing as too young. There's no such thing as too old. There's no such thing as too inexperienced. There's no such thing as not having enough. Because like God's done with me, I know that God is done with each one of you and will keep providing just what you need to be who he needs you to be if we have faith to walk in his path. And so my friends, I'm excited to be on this journey with you. And I hope that you're excited to be on it with me, because I think just like camping changes lives, that lives will change by what happens here in each one of you through God's work in this church. Will you pray with me? Lord, you have provided to each one of us some incredible witnesses. Those that are still walking along beside us, and those who've become the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. Lord, may our eyes never stop looking at them, but may we be able to look through them to see your Son in them and desire to live more like him so that our lives are changed and those around us are as well. Be with us on this journey, providing for us, strengthening us, inspiring us, and guiding us in all we say and do. For all of this, we pray in your mighty name. Amen.